All right, we're here with Nick from the Unified Communications Group. And tell us a little bit about that group and what you do there, Nick.
Yeah, my name is Nicholas Fish. I work in the Unified Communications Group. We mainly produce some products such as Microsoft Link, as well as the Microsoft Link Server 2010 this year.
And for people who aren't completely familiar with Link, mm-hmm. tell us a little bit about that.
Microsoft Link is a contact list-based application for having real-time conversations and collaboration with both friends and coworkers. It offers instant messaging, voice over IP calling, application sharing, and a slew of other features to assist people with communications.
And today we're going to talk a little bit about provisioning trusted endpoints in UCMA. Let's not use any acronyms here. Mm-hmm. What is UCMA?
Unified Communications Managed API. It is a middle-tier API. API is an application programmable interface for developers to take advantage of the features offered by Microsoft Link Server 2010 and other voice over IP enabled servers. It allows people to use voice over IP, instant messaging, application sharing, and other such communication collaboration features from within their applications, so developers can take advantage of the API to expose this to their customers directly.
Give us a couple of examples of where developers might use us.
So some applications that developers have built using UCMA include contact center type applications, as well as click-to-call type scenarios over the internet, for instance for like sales or help support. Another service that we've seen people build using Unified Communications Managed API is bot services that would, through a user's contact list through Microsoft Link, expose different services that that user might use. For instance, one company that we have actually has a bot service that checks for forest fires in the Australian region, and then can, as a result of that, send alerts to different people if such fires are detected.
Very cool. And so it sounds like there's different kinds of endpoints. Tell us about the different types of endpoints that you might have.
Absolutely. There are two types of endpoints in UCMA presently. There are user endpoints, which are meant to simulate real users and expose the functionalities that a user might use when using like Microsoft Link Server, calling people, instant messaging, and so on and so forth. And there's another type of endpoint which can do all the things that user endpoints can, in addition to some other things. These are called application endpoints or trusted application endpoints. The reason that they're trusted is so that they can perform actions such as user impersonation or other control actions on conferences and various other features that they offer.
So take us through the provisioning process for a trusted endpoint.
So to provision a trusted endpoint, typically you'd begin by creating a trusted application pool. Then you would have to set a certificate on that pool, create an application and associated contacts in that pool. And then also for UCMA in the 2010 release, we're recommending using SQRID replication. It's called Central Management Store Replication. This enables users to retrieve the settings associated with their application directly from a copy of a database, which is replicated from a master database. So there are some steps necessary to enable that on the server as well. And next, the certificate needs to be configured on the server. And at that point, the administrator can take the steps to verify that the trusted application has been correctly configured.
How do you do that? How do you verify that it's been correctly configured?
We created something called the Link Control Panel. This interface allows administrators to directly see all the trusted applications that they've configured on their Link server topologies. At that point, once all the configuration is taken place by the application administrator, then an application developer can log on and begin developing his or her application. And then later, after the development process has been completed, we can take the finished application and push it out to real customers who can begin to use it.
So can you walk us through how you would provision a trusted application endpoint?
Absolutely. There's a few steps necessary to provision a trusted application endpoint. I recommend that most developers, after they install the Unified Communications Managed API SDK, take a look at the help file that gets installed as part of that. And they can find that by going to Start, All Programs, Microsoft Unified Communications Managed API 3.0 SDK, and clicking on the Core SDK help file. This opens a set of topics. This is all the documentation available about UCMA, but today what we're specifically interested in is the Trusted Applications provisioning story, and they can find that under the UCMA Core User Guide, Managed UCMA 3.0 Core Applications, and then the activating a UCMA 3.0 core trusted application. These first two sections have a lot of useful information about what a trusted application endpoint is, but the first section that actually has some steps necessary for the administrator to take can be found in the general application activation section. The first set of steps here are creating a pool of trusted application computers. Administrators will take that step using the new CS Trusted Application Pool commandlet. This can also be done using the topology builder tool that we have. However, I tend to prefer using the PowerShell commandlets directly.
Mm-hmm.
To launch the Microsoft Link Server Management Shell, click on Start, All Programs, Microsoft Link Server 2010, and then click on the Link Server Management Shell. I'll actually be copying most of my commands from Notepad today. It's a bit of a crib sheet.
Make it a little bit easier.
Exactly.
Than typing.
And so the first step here is to create a new trusted application pool. There are a few parameters that we need to feed this. Number one is the identity of the trusted application pool, which is the pool FQDN. Next is the registrar associated with that pool. And finally, we typically associate a computer FQDN with one computer in the pool. Trusted application pools can be composed of a single computer or multiple computers. So whenever creating a pool, it's usually good to set a FQDN on the first computer in that pool.
Okay.
Also necessary is to declare the site. Microsoft Link servers can consist of multiple sites for location-based purposes and high availability. Next, the administrator should verify that everything reported by the commandlet is as expected. And they will see a warning here that the enable CS topology commandlet needs to be run for these changes to take effect, but we're actually going to do that a little later. Next, I'm actually going to acquire a certificate for the trusted applications to use. And I like to do a little trick here where I go to the directory where the certificates are stored in Windows Explorer. And this directory is available in the help file for anybody that's watching this video that wants to get it later. And then I select all the certificates. This way, when I create the new certificate, that new certificate will show as a non-selected file here.
Nice. So it comes in and it's not highlighted.
Exactly.
See it right away.
It's definitely possible to find that file using the date modified timestamp
Sure. And
examining it, but this is a little quicker. Now I will actually request the certificate. There are a couple ways to do this. I tend to prefer the request CS certificate commandlet. This is covered in the help file. Of importance here, though, is to know the FQDN of your certificate authority as well as the name of your certificate authority. I'll feed this into the Link Server Management Shell. Sorry. And then we see that we've received a certificate back. And it's going to actually give us a thumbprint here. It's useful to copy down this thumbprint for later references because we're actually going to use that later on.
Okay.
Next, I want to actually provision the application in the topology. To do that, I'll use the new CS Trusted Application commandlet. There are a couple parameters to feed to this commandlet. Number one is the application ID associated with the trusted application. Another thing to feed in here is the pool FQDN that we set using the new CS Trusted Application pool commandlet before. And also we need to select a port here. And this port is a numeric TCP port that people are going to later need to allow in their firewall rules. And again, I get the warning message about enable CS topology. And actually, now's a pretty good time, so let's run that. This enable CS topology commandlet pushes the changes that we made using the previous commandlets out into the Link server document.
And how do you know that went through? It just returns?
Enable CS topology, as long as there are no warnings or errors returned, then it was successful.
Cool, okay.
Next, we should create any contact objects we want associated with our trusted application. And this is the actual trusted application endpoint that's directly used in the API in UCMA. It's exposed using the API naming application endpoint.
Right on.
In this case, I'm provisioning a trusted application endpoint with the SIP address of my testbot at fabricam.com. I set a display name on that contact object. I also need to feed in the pool FQDA in again, as well as the application ID, so that this contact object can be associated with the application and the application pool that we created in the two steps before this. In this release of UCMA, we recommend installing a local copy of the Central Management Store replica on trusted application computers. This allows UCMA to directly consume settings that have been provisioned in the topology from the local copy of the database. And to do that, we're going to use the bootstrapper command. This is also covered in the help file. And actually, this needs to be run from a Windows command prompt shell.
Okay.
So that'll take a while to finish, but then once that completes, you have the Central Management Store replica database installed. And at this point, we can actually enable that database to start replicating. We're going to do that using the enable CS replica commandlet. This does a couple of things. Number one, it tells the master Central Management Store that we want to replicate from it. Also, it enables the replica service to run. Now we actually want to start that replica service, which is a standard Windows service. If we were to check our service control panel, we'd see that one running. Now that that's running, we want to trigger a Management Store replication update using the invoke CS Management Store replication commandlet. And we can monitor the progress of that replication using the get CS Management Store replication status commandlet. Right now we see that they're all faults. Eventually all these should cycle to true once they've all been updated with the newest Central Management Store data.
How long do you expect that would take?
This can take between 5 and 10 minutes. If this takes longer than that, I recommend that rebooting the master database can also help speed up the process at times.
Okay.
So after the Central Management Store replication finishes and all these servers are reporting up to date, the next step is to actually configure the certificate on the topology. So again, we're going to refer back to this name that we copied before, and we're going to set the certificate using the get-cs or using the set-cs certificate commandlet. All right. You may get some warnings here and errors. Typically, these can be ignored, although I would definitely recommend that users take a look at this HTML file that's generated here to make sure there aren't any issues that will be blocking or otherwise affect the correct function of the application. Next, I need to add to the RTC component local group the permissions necessary to use the certificate. To do that, I'll use the CACL's exe file, which is actually part of Windows itself, and paste in that command line that I had before. All right. Next, I can verify that this all went through successfully using something that we built called the Link Control Panel. I'm actually going to flip over to another machine here that has that installed on it. Users can find the Link Control Panel by clicking on Start, All Programs, Microsoft Link Server 2010, and then clicking on the Link Server Control Panel. Users then need to log in with their domain administrative credentials. To find the trusted applications, administrators should click on the topology on the left side, and then on the trusted application link at the top banner. And here we can find that our trusted application has been successfully provisioned.
Okay.
Next, I'm going to flip over to Diane Prescott and run one of our sample quick starts. Quick starts are some small applications we created to demonstrate the various features and how to use certain things in UEFI Communications Managed API. So after the administrator has verified that the trusted application has been created in the trusted application link control panel, they can then switch over to, or a developer could begin actually developing an application. So we're going to take a look at the Publish Always Online quick start today. And here on this machine, I'm logged in as Diane Prescott, and I'm actually going to load up the Publish Always Online quick start. By the way, the quick starts can be found in the C, Program Files, Microsoft UCMA 3.0, SDK, Core, Sample Applications, Quick Starts directory. And I'm actually going to copy this entire thing to my desktop. I'll put it in my Visual Studio 2010 projects folder. If I go to my documents, Visual Studio 2010 projects, and open the Publish Always Online Quick Start, now these quick starts are actually in Visual Studio 2008 format, so if you're running 2010, you'll need to convert the solutions. Typically this goes without error. However, I definitely recommend that developers check the errors column here on the conversion report to make sure that there are no problems. Next, I'm going to open the application configuration file. This is an XML file that contains the settings necessary for each of the quick starts to run. It's named app.config. Taking a look at this one, I can uncomment the application ID line and change this application ID to test app, which was the application ID that we provisioned before using the link server management shell. I'll save that. And for the purposes of illustrating UCMA APIs itself, I'm going to look at this provision application platform settings API, and I'll set a breakpoint here. This application ID parameter, when we run the application now, gets set to the test app application ID that we configured before. And this is how applications are able to connect to a central management store replica and retrieve the settings necessary to provision themselves. So this quick start will establish an application endpoint and put it in the established state, and it will also change the presence of that application endpoint from offline or whatever state it was in previously to online. And we can verify that that worked by looking up this SIP URI. And we see that that bot has gone to the available state.
Cool, so it all works.
Everything worked.
Very nice. All right, well, thanks for showing us this today. Where can people find out more about this?
Definitely I would recommend that they look in the CHM file for more detailed instructions about how to go through this. Also, some common problems that users may experience is that they may not configure their firewall to accept calls for this. So I definitely recommend that they check their firewall settings. Details on that can also be found in the UCMA Core SDK help file.
Excellent. Thanks for showing us this today.
Thank you.